that you would change us where we need changing. Lord, that you would give us the things that we need to hear to motivate us to change. And I pray as we look into your word now and as we prepare our hearts for communion, that you would, that your spirit would come to us in such a way that we cannot ignore it. That we won't be able to push him off, but we will realize how much we need you, your spirit, your strength, your power in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Doesn't always happen to me, but it did the other night. God gave me a sermon in a dream. Just crazy. You know, it's like, you know how it's just early morning and you're kind of in that half awake state, and all of a sudden this whole sermon started to unfold. And a few scriptures came to my mind and I couldn't shake them. In fact, I got up early to write them all down because I didn't want to forget what it was. And you know how you wake up and then you forget your dream. And Kathy's like, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Something to write with, you know, something to write down." And she had some paper over by her side, and so she handed me some paper, and it wasn't big enough, and I wrote as much as I could on that paper. But then it wouldn't let me go. I couldn't go back to sleep, and then I did get a little bit more rest, but I had to just get up and get some bigger paper and start writing more notes down. And that scripture, I put it up on the screen. It's 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, that just was going over and over in my head, and the word that kept popping out of that was humble. Humble yourselves. Humble themselves. And then heal their land was the other part of that. And I was trying to pull that all together. And as you read the scripture, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways," and then you skip over that part where it, you know, it says they'll forgive us and everything, but it says, "Then I will heal their land." What was so big about that? Heal the land. I tried to figure it all out, so I thought, well, how about I'll look up what is humble? What is it to be humble? You know, the Hebrew defines it as being low, poor, meek, lowly, even depressed. Humble is not necessarily a lack of pride, but it's always mindful of God, always deferring to Him. So in other words, humble is not, you know, "Hey, I know it all." You know, we get that from our kids. You know, and I remember when I was young too, you know, it's a long time ago, but I still remember when it was my dad would say something to me or my mom would say something to me and I'd go, I know. But I didn't know. But I said I knew. And I know Jonathan did that with me and your kids are doing it to you where you try to tell them something. I know. You don't have to lecture me, Dad or Mom. I already know. There was a few times when Jonathan would do that, I'd say, "Okay, tell me what then? Tell me. Fill me in. Educate me." He'd say, "Well, I don't know." All of a sudden, I know, and then I don't know. So what is it? And we do the same thing with God, unfortunately. God wants to tell us something in the Scriptures, we go, I know. Or I don't want to know. Because we don't want to have to live up to it or follow it. So humble, it says being humble is to be low, to be poor, to be meek, to defer to God, to say, all right, God, you know. And I need to know. And I will listen. And so it says, if my people will listen to me, if my people will push aside their pride for this moment and say, God, speak to me. I'm open. I'm listening. Then they pray and they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. So, when he talked about this, the other thing that really jumped out was, it's if my people, not the unbelievers, it's the believers that he's talking to. It's very interesting because, you know, there's other people that aren't believers in the land. And yet, it concerns the believers. If they humble themselves, if they listen to me, if they seek my face, if they turn from their wicked ways, then I'll heal the land. Forget the unbelievers. It's up to you. And I thought about America, you know, and all the craziness going on. And I find ourselves being busy about other things, not about what God wants, about what He wants for me. It's not what He wants for everybody else. You know, I remember when I was, you know, not a pastor, and I would sit in the church, and the pastor would bring a message, and I'd be looking around at who this sermon belonged to. You know, they could use that one. I hope they're listening. You know, oh yeah, yeah, wake up over there. You know, I remember doing that, and yet, it's I need to open my ears. I need to stop. You know, humble ourselves. Stop striving in your own flesh. Stop trying to make everything work in your way or on your terms. Stop. Pray. Seek. Turn to God. Turn from your wicked ways, from what I want. Because, you know, that's really what it is. Disobedience of God is I want it, so I'm going to go do it. And God, you don't like it? Tough. And we do that as kids, too. You know, we say that to our parents. We, you know, the parents try to tell us stuff for our own good, and we kind of say, well, I'm doing it anyway. Because I want it. And as adults, we say that to God. We're His children. And we just kind of want Him not to be involved in this one thing over here. You know, I got, it's like the guy in the little video that we saw. And I only read the articles. Yeah, I believe that. You know, and so we want to push God away from things in our life, but then when the chips are down, we've got to, you know, God, where are you? It says God will hear and forgive when we humble ourselves, listen to Him, when we devote ourselves, defer to Him. And then He'll heal the land. You know, we look at, again at this country and what's going on. And I can't help but feel that if we as a body of believers, the churches across America, would open our ears and listen to God instead of listening to our own, you know, well, we got to do this and we got to do that, you know. I mean, I know music is important and we, you know, Kathy and I talk a lot about it, and we have other things that we like to do in our church services and everything else, but that's not the ultimate. It's opening up. The music is to get us prepared. It's to open our hearts. It's to open, you know, music is a great way to do that. You know, it kind of opens us up to listen. And so as believers, we're to be humble. We're to look to God. He's bigger, stronger, wiser than us. Stop trying to figure it out. Global warming, chilling, devastation. Who knows what the next thing is going to be? Bird flu or whatever it is. Turn to God. Turn to God. Because you know what? We have all these things going on. And is it because we've turned our backs on God? Is it because we're not praying and seeking God? Is it because we haven't turned from our wicked ways? And these things are happening not only in our country, but others. The other scripture that came to mind is out of Matthew, and it's 1486 in your pew Bible. It's 1486, Matthew chapter 11. Not very much, just a couple verses. 1486 in the pew Bibles, Matthew 11. Right at the very tail end, 28 and 29. And 30. We'll do 30. So, Jesus talking, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We read that, we see, you know, picture that, a yoke. It's got two oxen hooked together. And we miss the whole thing of what Jesus, you know, is saying. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart." Now, usually the older ox, the one that's the veteran, is on one side. I believe it's on the left side, but I might be wrong. And the younger or rookie is on the other side. And the veteran kind of moves and does where it needs to go and everything, so the younger one learns, can learn. Now, the younger one can fight it. And many times we as Christians fight. We fight God, we fight Jesus, we fight everything that He's trying to do in our lives, and we're pulling on the other way. He's going to the left, and we're going to the right. Or we're pulling back, or we're trying to go forward too fast. And Jesus is, you know, "Hey, simmer down. Calm down. Take it easy. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart." Humble in heart. You know, he's listening to us too. Isn't that interesting? "And you find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and burden is light." Doesn't mean we don't have a burden, but it does mean it's light and easy because He's sharing the load. You know, we should kind of back off a little bit. Don't push so hard. Don't ignore what He's trying to say. You know, it's the yoke that we've chosen as believers. You know, I asked Jesus in my heart. I asked Him to take control of my life. And then he puts this yoke on me and I'm going, "Oh, wait a minute, I don't know if I signed up for this." And yet He's saying, but you want me to give you rest. You want me to give you peace. You want that joy. You want that strength, that power to live your life in this world. But you got to take the yoke. You got to be hooked up. So we need to yield. That again refers to humility. To yield to Jesus, to follow, to be ever mindful of what He wants. Last scripture I want us to go to, 2 Corinthians 17:57 in the Pew Bible, 17:57. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, this says He died for all.
Let's make sure I got the right one. Yeah.
Okay. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, or new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to drop down now to verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are no longer to live for ourselves. We're to live for God. As ambassadors, therefore, we need to separate ourselves from the world and stand for God. We're not supposed to be part of this world or any part of this world. You know, there's a lot of things out there that we get involved with. You know, and I'm not saying to totally ignore or not be involved in politics. Sometimes we do. We write letters or whatever we need to do to be involved in politics, to work on, pray for, to guide. But to be separate from the world. We're living in the world, but we're not supposed to be part of it. You know, the Amish have gone way too far. Because the Amish, you know, they just totally got out of everything. No TVs, no electricity, and everything else. But, you know, are they really that far out? You know, when you think about it, the things that the world has pulled us into. We talked about it last week, I think, where, you know, when I was a kid, we had black and white TV and we watched programs and everything. And how much the programs have changed. And how much we have changed with them. No longer are we saying, well, that's ridiculous, and turn it off. No longer are we looking at the movies and saying, you know, that movie, I can't believe that is on the screen. Sometimes now we're saying, you know, the movie's pretty good. There's a couple cuss words in it, but, you know, it's a pretty good movie. Years ago, it would have been, there's cuss words in the movie? Are you kidding me? Why would they do that? And so we need to be separate from the world. You know, in the Air Force, you know, all of us in the military, we go through a survival training. And, you know, they tell you if you get captured what you're supposed to do and, you know, how to survive if you're out in the woods and everything else. And, you know, when you're captured, you give your name, rank, and serial number. Name, rank, and serial number. And so that's all you're supposed to give. But what happens when you spill the beans? What happens when you tell all? And when you know they bring out the whatever, the knife or the chisel or whatever they're gonna do, and all of a sudden you say, okay, I've got everything, and you spill it all. What do they call you? A traitor. And if you're a spy, they you might be a double agent. You tell them everything and you tell the others everything. You play both sides. Now, God's kingdom won't tolerate that. You see, those who live for Satan can't play both sides. Either for Satan or you're for God. You can't play both sides. As we look at communion this morning, that's the side that you're choosing. Jesus Christ. You're choosing to serve Him. Not the world, not any semblance of the world. We've got to be careful because there's so many little things that come in. You know, we'll just do this because it's not going to hurt anything. And say, well, I'm not sure. We just heard on a radio program that there's certain churches that are using tarot cards. Churches. Well, they don't call them tarot cards. Oh, I'm sorry. We call them destiny cards. And they have Christian figures on them. You know, it's It's Christianized. But it's to tell you your future. Is that really what we want to bring in to the church? You know, I think we need to be very careful of what we are allowing to go on. Churches have let go of the solid doctrine of Jesus Christ. We need to be careful. We need to be separate from the world. So as we take communion, we're saying, I'm standing for Christ. We're saying that He's mine, I'm His. The juice symbolizing His blood, the bread symbolizing His body. And we, by taking that, it's a symbol of, I'm following Him. Not going left or right, not going to be part of the world. I'm going to follow Him. So I want us to have a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts and take note of that slide. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Father, as we come before you to take communion, to participate in the Lord's Supper, we have bread and we have a cup, and they symbolize Jesus' body and the blood. He died for us so that we could have freedom from the penalty of sin. And yet sometimes we accept that as, oh, okay, so what? Sometimes we don't value it like we should. And we find ourselves getting involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in, doing things we shouldn't be doing. And so by doing those things, we trample the body and the blood of Jesus. We disrespect it. And so, Lord, I pray as we hold that bread, as we hold that cup, that we realize how much you gave up for us and how much we owe to you. May we choose to serve you and only you. May we separate ourselves from worldly influences. May we devote ourselves to your purposes and your will. Thank you, Lord, for this time as we take this bread and take this cup. We pray now for your blessings on it in Jesus' name. Amen.